Hello, everybody. So there's a good chance that I have sourdough all over me. I just got done making some bread, but welcome to Evolve Beyond Limits, where we talk about everything personal growth, transformation, and stress optimization. So over the weekend, I was thinking about Andrew and I had a really fun weekend, and it included a few different things. And this is where it comes, this is where this whole theme came from. And I was like, what did this weekend include? What made it so great? And what I came up with is the three P's of power of a powerful and fulfilling relationship. Okay. So Andrew and I have been married for almost 16 years. And in that 16 years, we have been through the ringer. We've been through a lot of things, as most people have, if you've been in a relationship for that long. And we have the thing that we're so proud of is that we were married. We were babies when we got married. We were 21 and 23. And so we've had to grow and evolve together. And it's been really kind of a fun journey. It's been challenging in a lot of different ways because we have completely transformed not only our relationship, which has really transformed in so many beautiful ways in the last couple of years. Some of that through some really hard things. But we have both transformed as people. And so, and a lot of this is using these three P's that I came up that I kind of came up with. So I'm not going to tell you the three P's that Andrew came up with when we were discussing this topic. I'll leave that to your imagination. But here's what I came up with. Okay. So there is the three P's are plan, play, and push. So let's talk about these for a second. I just want to get into it. So plan. Plan is the first one because we plan, and especially if you're somebody who is in business, it's amazing. You'll plan all these things. And then how many families or relationships don't plan in their in the same way, don't plan in their personal lives? So yes, this is going to take an hour or two a week. But it's amazing how much freedom it will give you and how much less stress you are going to feel. I know at least, you know, in our relationship, it's really easy for life to get in the way, for life to just kind of take over. And I will say it takes away a lot of the sexiness in relationships when all you ever talk about is your to-do list for the week. Right. And this happens. Like everything is like, what needs to get done next? What has to happen? What this? It's not super sexy. It's not super playful. And so this is what we do in order to be able to compartmentalize in a way the things that we do, the to-do list and all of that, the responsibilities that we have. So that way, when we have time together, it's not trying to play catch up. It actually gets to be quality time. And we're going to talk about that in the next one, which is play. But here's a couple of examples of the ways that Andrew and I plan. So monthly, at the beginning of the month, we did this on the first, which was Saturday. We look and we reflect. What are we celebrating from the month before? Like, we can't stack on progress we don't acknowledge. It's one of my favorite quotes. So how well did we do with the goals that we set? Like, what did we accomplish in this past month? And what progress did we make towards those goals? So we kind of look at that. How well did we do with the goals that we set? We look at finances. Okay. So we look at our finances. We say, okay, this is what we spent. This is what this looks like. This is where we're at. This is what's coming. What do we need to plan for this upcoming month? What do we need to start putting into motion? We look at our calendar and say, you know, at the end of this month, we're going to be here. Do we have everything booked for that? Like, we just give ourselves an opportunity to look a whole month in advance and say, what does this upcoming month look like? Then we say, what are our goals for the upcoming month? What are the things that we want to accomplish and hit for this upcoming one month? And then something we started doing recently, because I think Andrew actually heard this from Jesse Itzler, so this is pretty fun, is one thing that we're going to add to our life this month, and then one thing we're going to stop. And this one, I like the thing that you're going to stop. The question that we've been asking is it's something that's not serving you, but you do it anyways. Okay. We all have things like this in our life. But for example, mine was I'm going to start adding lifting like strength training back into my movement cycle. I've been doing a lot of swimming. I've been doing a lot of walking. Swimming's kind of my newest thing. And I want to start to rotate back in some strength training. So that's what I'm going to add back in. What I'm going to stop, this is the thing, is not putting laundry away right after I fold it. Like, it's something that does not serve me. It never turns out for the better. I always regret it. So that is my commitment to myself. I'm just going to stop doing that. And every time when I get the laundry out, it gets folded and it gets put away. So those are mine. Andrew was, he's going to start getting up at 6, making sure he drinks his full glass of water. He has a stress supplement that we have that we both take. He's going to take that and he's going to take Max outside to just get himself moving in the morning. And then he wants to stop sitting on his phone at night in bed. And so he's going to choose to do something else besides that if he catches himself in that space. So that's kind of like our monthly cadence. Our weekly is we do family L10. So if you're familiar with the EOS system, if you run on it, you've heard of a level 10 meeting. This is how we run our level 10 meeting is we share our good news. What happened that week professionally, personally, what's going on? What worked last week? What didn't work? So this can be, what did we say we were going to do, but didn't? Where did we get tripped up? What did we struggle with? And knowing what we know now, what are we going to do differently in the upcoming week? Then again, we go over our finances. Is there anything that we missed? Is there anything we want to look at? What needs to get paid? What does that look like? We go over our calendar. So who needs help where, right? Like, what kind of week did each of us have? What kind of support can we offer to one another? Do we need to pull in outside help because we have such a crazy week? Do we need to order meals from a food service so that we know that we're getting healthy things because it's just going to be insane? What kind of things does that look like? What can we realistically get done? And what's going to have to wait until next week because there's just no way to push that in? Where are we making time for us, right? So all of this, then we go over our to-dos for the week. So who's responsible for them? Like, hey, I'll do this, you do that. This is where we come up and we do a lot of teamwork and collaboration. We usually create a quick meal plan so that it's done, so that we can get that. And we know that our physical health is going to be taken care of, at least our nutritional piece. And then any issues. So our issues is, what do we need to discuss and make decisions on? The cool thing about the issues list, if you're familiar with EOS, you understand how this works, but this is a powerful thing in a relationship, is the issues list is for anything that is not urgent. Right. And most things aren't urgent. Let's just be honest. They go on the issues list and we talk about them in our family meeting. Now, again, remember going back to, there's really not sexy when all you guys talk about is what is like these urgent things that keep popping up. And so something that Andrew and I have learned to do is, hey, I know that that's important to you. Is it urgent? No. Okay. Well, go put it on the issues list. And so when we're actually spending time together in quality time, it's not taken up by these things that maybe we're worried about that we don't need to be, and it can be solved later. So we throw them on our family meeting. They go on the issues list and we'll discuss them at once. We'll make a decision. We'll move forward. We'll do whatever. And lastly, what are we going to do for us this week? Right. And this one leads to the next one. Play. Oh my gosh, play. So when you think about play, this is the second P. Brené Brown in, I don't even remember what book, but she kind of describes play as, one, you lose track of time doing it. Two, there's no obvious ROI. There's no return on investment or no purpose to it. You just do it because it's fun. And three, it's something that you never want to end. But I'm going to make a fourth one. So the fourth one to me is that it makes you feel like a kid. I think that when we play, it makes you feel like this childlike innocence that can be really beautiful. Now, again, when Brené Brown talks about play, she says that contest is part of play, but competition isn't, which means that contest means that it doesn't matter who wins or loses. It's just about being out there having fun for the sake of having fun. Andrew and I played pickleball on Saturday, and Andrew, I don't know that I've won a single game of pickleball against Andrew. And But that's okay because like we still have so much fun. Sometimes we shrink it to half court so that like I have a little bit more of a chance, but man, that man has like long arms and I'm getting better, but it doesn't make me frustrated because it's just, we're just out there having fun. We're moving, we're doing the things. And she also says that competition means that there has to be a winner and a loser. And oftentimes that actually just strips away the pure joy of what you're doing. Like if I got frustrated every single time I lost, us being out playing pickleball would get really not fun really fast. Okay. So, and she mentions that even animals engage in playful contests. And that some will even purposely handicap themselves to make the playtime last longer. So a wrestling match with dogs, you might see that the stronger one is going to allow the weaker one to get the occasional advantage so that they can play for longer. So they, I don't know if Andrew actually does this. I don't know if he, you know, I do notice that I'm scoring more. I like to believe that I'm getting better. But maybe he's giving me a break. I don't know. But either way, it's super fun. But some examples of play. I'm just going to give you examples that we do, but you guys do you. Pickleball, riding our bikes together, hiking, playing games like board games. What are some that we play? We like to play. We'll do our Switch sometimes. Sometimes we'll pull out our Switch and do some Mario Kart and some fun things like that. We can do Sequence, Yahtzee. Those ones are really fun. Planning theme parties. Like we love a theme party. So this is something that allows us to be really playful, really creative. And we wake surf. Like we love to wake surf and go just being in the water. It makes us feel like little kids. So whatever is fun for you, but make sure that it goes on the calendar because it's so easy to skip this, especially if it's not something that you're prioritizing in your life right now. But here's the reality is the more playful and innocent you are with one another, the more trust and safety you actually feel in the relationship. So if you're in a relationship or your relationship seems to be really serious, or you take each other or you take yourself really serious and everything turns into some sort of competition of some sort, there's usually an underlying root issue in regards to a lack of trust and a lack of how safe, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, energetically, both people are feeling within a relationship. So if you're finding it really difficult to play with your partner, then there's just probably some underlying things. And I've been there, like we've been there and they can 100% get worked through, but just know that it's there. So that actually leads to the next one, which is push. The third P is push. So without a plan, it's hard to let yourself play. You need like that structure that allows for the freedom. So there's that. Without playfulness, and if you take everything really serious, this one is going to be really hard. Pushing one another to reach their fullest potential is going to be really difficult if you're unable to, if you're just really serious with one another. So if you can't play and joke and know that the other person has your back, then likely you're going to be very easily offended and or sensitive when the other person tries to give you any sort of feedback on your behavior around something that you are doing, something you're not doing. And this can often result in getting defensive. This is usually where it is. I tend to be really, I get really defensive when this happens, which I have to like take myself out of. Or you turn it around and you start blaming the other person for why, for whatever it is and why you can't do it because they're doing this or whatever that looks like, instead of truly listening and understanding to what they're trying to express to you. So from my experience, there's a few things that can actually work really well here when it comes to pushing one another. One, and this one takes a lot of courage, okay? It's to ask for feedback. Don't wait for somebody to have to tell you what's going on. Like literally ask for feedback. I will never forget. I read the book, The Queen's Code. And one of the things that it asks in there is what are all the things you do that demasculate the man in your life or the men in your life? And I went to Andrew and my heart was racing. And I was like, I need to ask you a question. I need to ask you for feedback. And I knew there was going to be things that I had done. And he told me that there were definitely things that I have done or do that make him feel demasculated in our relationship and as a man. But because I went to him, I was ready and I was open to receive that feedback. This takes a lot of courage, but man, is it powerful. If you're willing to go and say, hey, actually I just did it the other couple of weeks ago. I think I was like, hey, I'm going to show you this thing. And I really want you to like, what are you seeing in me that is out of alignment? That maybe is I'm saying this, but I'm doing this. Like, and it can be really, really powerful when you're in that space and you proactively go at it rather than like reacting to what, to something that somebody is saying or to a behavior pattern that maybe you just didn't see before. So that's one. The second thing is making commitments to one another and decide together how you would like to be called up or held accountable. So I find that for Andrew and I, something that works really well is if it makes you laugh, it can be really helpful here, but you do you. So Andrew and I want to be the best versions of ourselves together. And when we know that the other person is in a funk, like this is something I've learned, is that when somebody else is in a funk, I used to be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And now I'm just like, hold on. Like, this is not their normal behavior. So there's something going on with them. And so instead of like ignoring it or trying to avoid it, it's simply like, hey, what's going on? And so our way of asking each other, what's going on here? Because you're in a funk, it's affecting me. This isn't super fun. We say all of this with one word. And if you've ever watched Couples Retreat, you will understand what this word is. But we are like, our word is ass-tastic. Dude. Ass-tastic. And we say everything that I just said in a single word, but we can't say it without giggling. And the other person can't hear it without giggling. And it allows for us to go from the bottom of the brain, which is in survival mode, which is in, you know, all those low vibrations. It instantly kicks into humor, and humor allows us to go to the top of our brain, and we get to respond and be like, oh, you're right. I am in a funk. This is what's going on. And so it gives us that opportunity to move through it. So there's that. And then you can also use questions and do them in your weekly planning. So you might have, Andrew on his LinkedIn said something about a question that we asked last week, which is, where are your actions not aligning with who you say you want to be? But you're doing this together and you're being vulnerable and authentic together. Okay. And so, and then it's like, well, what changes do you want to make next week then? Like, what do you want? And then another one is, we talked about this earlier, is one thing you know is not serving you, but you keep doing it. Right. So are you going to commit to stop doing that thing? Now, the biggest thing here is the commitments need to be yours. Right? Meaning that I don't get to tell Andrew what I want him to commit to. I can come to Andrew with an issue. He can come to me with an issue, but the solution must be collaborative. And ultimately, Andrew needs to agree to it, not because it makes me happy, but because it's going to help him be the best version of him and vice versa. Right? So this is common. That this will happen is that people make commitments not because they really think that's what they need, but they want the other person to be happy. And then that actually breeds resentment and anger further on down the line. So then you need to know how you need to be held accountable. So what that looks like and how that person wants to be held accountable, what is the most supportive for them, can be discussed and agreed upon, so that if the person needs to be called to the carpet or they need to be called up, you can do so from a loving space and nobody's going to be blindsided and they're going to be like, oh, I asked for this, right? I asked for this. And they're just following through on that commitment to me because they love me so much. And it can just be from a really loving place. Remember, you made this commitment to yourself. You didn't make this commitment to me. And so this is how you said you want to be held accountable. I'm just doing that, right? Don't kill the messenger here. So those are it. That's what I have for you. So plan, play, push. And they all kind of lead into one another. So I would love to hear if this resonates or share some other things that you might do in your relationship to keep things moving forward. But that is it. That is all I have for today. Just remember that transformation starts with awareness and it builds with action. So if this resonated, share it with someone who needs to hear it. Keep evolving, and I will see you on the next one.